Get ready to blast off as we discuss The New Guys, a new book about the first class of civilian astronauts for the space shuttle program, coming up in today's episode.
3, 2, 1, engine full power.
Welcome to Your Space Journey, where we venture into the future of space exploration. Your journey begins now.
Hello and welcome to Your Space Journey. My name is Chuck, and today I'm pleased to introduce my special guest, author and space historian, Meredith Bagby. Meredith has just released her latest book, The New Guys, the historic class of astronauts that broke barriers and changed the face of space travel. In this captivating work, Meredith dives into the story of the first class of civilian astronauts for the space shuttle and their enduring impact on the American space program. The first class of civilian astronauts for the space shuttle program was selected in 1978 as part of NASA's effort to diversify the astronaut corps and bring in more non-military personnel. The civilian astronauts brought a range of expertise to the space program, from physics and engineering to medicine and social sciences. Their selection marked an important shift in the space program, demonstrating NASA's commitment to opening up space travel to a broader range of Americans.
Your space journey.
Meredith, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. You know, I'm really enjoying your new book, The New Guys. For those out there, our listeners, it's about the first class of civilian astronauts for the space shuttle program. I never really knew what it was like for these amazing astronauts. I had lots of assumptions. But I just wondered, you know, what inspired you to write about this particular class?
That's a great question. And, you know, I'm a child of Florida and a child of the 80s. And when I was growing up, my fifth grade science teacher applied for the Teacher in Space program that Christy McAuliffe ended up winning. So we spent that year learning about NASA. And of course, when Challenger and when she launched, we were out on the field and we watched the Challenger explode live, like millions of other students. And of course, that always stayed with me. And when I became a writer, and I learned that this on the Challenger, there were four members of this extraordinary class that ended up dying. And it was a class in 1978. And in that class were, you know, the first woman, first American woman to fly, which was Sally Ride, and the first African American to fly, which was Guy Bluford. And of course, on that flight, Judy Resnick, who was the second American woman to fly, died. And Ron McNair, who was the second African American to fly, also passed away, as well as Ellison Onizuka, who was the first Asian American to fly. Anyway, I just became obsessed with that story, and I just had to tell it.
Well, you know, it's a really good story, really powerful, and I could not imagine what you went through. Another thing that kind of surprised me, and is the pushback they received. You know, it's this diverse group of astronauts. You know, we look at it through the eyes of today's society. It's like we have, you know, women, we have men of color, just different races, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. But what surprised me is how they got pushback, shall we say, from some of the test pilots there. Did you know about that? Did you know how hard that was when you started this book? And did you uncover that during your research?
I think what was really surprising was, I mean, I suspected some of that was going to be there, but I think what was surprising was maybe what happened in the years just before The New Guys arrived, and how difficult it was for the men and women who didn't get to fly but tried to break down those barriers, like Jerry Cobb of the Mercury 13, who was told to, like, wait your turn, and but had as many flying hours as a lot of the Mercury 7 guys did, or Ed Dwight, who, you know, tried, an African-American who tried to be a test pilot, but was really rejected from that program. So it's those guys really paved the way for the new guys, which was the first class to come in the late 70s. By that time, things had definitely improved in this country, and we had opened up quite substantially from where we were in the 60s. But I think, nevertheless, there were some cultural things that they had to work through, you know, both in terms of, like, NASA dealing with having women as astronauts for the first time and learning about women's bodies and learning how they functioned and didn't function in space. So like those kinds of things, really, I think there were some, you know, growing pains in the program at the beginning.
I do want to talk about those in a little bit because there are some funny stories about that. But yeah. I love, and you told a lot of those stories too in the book. And that's, again, I love just the way you story tell. I love how you get, you know, the personal stories of the astronauts. And one thing that surprised me, we'll talk about, you know, Ron McNair, exceptional candidate, as are all the others. What surprised me is he couldn't swim. Yet he worked with another astronaut. I can't remember which one right now, but yeah, to conquer their fears together. How did you come across that story? How fascinating was that?
It's actually a story. It's a great story, first of all. And it's a story that Ray Seddon, who was that was a female astronaut, one of the six, wrote about in on her website. And it was like, it was just a little story on her website, but it was, you know, so compelling when I was doing the research. And, you know, I asked her a lot about that story to kind of describe and walk us through all the different moments. And then I ended up, we pieced it together also with, you know, I talked to, you know, Ron has passed away, obviously, but I talked to his brother about it. And then we had some footage actually of Ron on the boat and looking petrified and sitting next to Ray, and, you know, just some, so we just pieced it together little by little. It's a tremendous story.
See, and that's just one of the amazing stories, because one of the underlying themes, again, that really impressed me, of course, the determination of everyone, especially the women in the program, such as Sally Ride, Anna Fisher, Kathy Sullivan, list goes on. Is there anything about their determination that surprised you the most?
That's a great question. You know, I think what was interesting about them is they all had these big aspirations, even as very young girls. Yeah. And, you know, Anna talks about sitting out on the field and listening to Alan Shepard launch. And I think that was a definitive moment for all of them, actually. And, you know, just that they had this notion, Ray talks about, the fact that, you know, she was inspired by her father, who told her girls could do anything and encouraged her to study science. And, but, you know, in the years that they grew up, when, especially their early, early years, women were not those things. They were not astronauts and they were not scientists and they were not doctors. And yet all of these women chose these really big careers for themselves. So I think that was really interesting. Just from the get-go, they were striving for these big ambitions. And so the astronaut chapter of their lives fits in perfectly in a lot of ways.
You know, it really does. And what you mentioned earlier just about how this was new, you know, the engineers had to understand, you know, sending women to space for the first time, it, you know, they don't know everything. And my wife and I got a kick out of the story about Sally Ride's first historic trip into space and how the engineers kind of made a blunder almost when they were creating her new toiletry kit. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So this is the first time they had create toiletry kits for women, and they put really hilarious things in them, like makeup. And Sally's like, I don't wear makeup on Earth. I'm going to wear lipstick in space. So that was funny. And then, you know, they also included over 100 tampons that were strung together like sausages. And like old fashioned sausages or hot dogs. And she's like, so they wouldn't float away, you know, into the cargo. And like, they included a pair of scissors to cut them up. And she's like, what is this? And they're like, well, you know, these are, you know, how many do you think you would need? 100? And she's like, no, for a 7-day trip, I don't need 100 tampons. So everybody loves that story.
That is just crazy. But yeah, the other one that, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten all the way through the book yet, but, one of the stories that I came across was the heat resistant tiles. We know about those and how there are thousands of them. But what I didn't realize is how the workers were just getting kind of fed up with how hard it was to, you know, you'd have to put these on before the adhesive dries. So they found sort of a low tech solution to keep the glue from drying too fast. What happened there?
So the heat tiles were always a difficulty. And in their first flight, like just prior to what you're talking about, in their first flight, they flew the orbiter from the West Coast to the East Coast. And on the flight, all these tiles fell off. And it was a huge deal because if the tiles fall off, you die. So, you know, for the real flight, they had to stick them all back on, all like 30,000 of them or something. And the glue, as you said, was like, it dried so fast that these workers couldn't get the tiles on and they couldn't work fast enough. So they started to spit into the glue to keep the glue moist. And of course, years later, they, you know, they kind of realized that this actually makes it less adhesive and that they fall off. So anyway, it's, there's a lot of like ridiculous story. I mean, what's great about this story and these other stories is that this was a startup enterprise and they were really bootstrapping a lot of these solutions. And this is what they did.
See, and I want to kind of go big picture now because, you know, we're entering a time here where civilian astronauts, we've seen them, they don't have to have advanced degrees now or even flight experience to become astronauts. So what lessons do you think we learned from the experiences of the civilian astronauts, particularly in terms of breaking down barriers and increasing diversity in the space program?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of skepticism when they came in, and especially from some of the test pilots who were more military guys. They had fought in Vietnam, and they didn't know whether the civilians, in particular the women, could cut it, or you know that they would thrive in this environment because a lot of it was so physical and a lot of it required so much intensity. And I think what the class, not one of them dropped out, not one of them failed in a mission. And it really showed that civilians could hack it. And I think that gave a lot of promise to, as an example, the era of commercial space flight, where we're sending up lots of different kinds of people with not nearly as much training as these guys had.
Yeah, it's amazing too. And I was thinking too, not only did none of them did not pass the path. They all did with flying colors. They all actually got through it with only 1 year of training as opposed to two, but that's another story. You have to read the book to find that one out. What do you hope readers are going to take away from your book?
Well, first of all, I hope that they have fun reading it. I hope that it's written in a narrative way. So it's meant to be a beach read of sorts, you know, and to have fun and to get to know these amazing heroes and their stories and kind of the story behind the space shuttle program. And I hope they get to get a glimpse into what it's like to be an astronaut. I hope they like feel and hear and smell all the things that these guys did.
Well, it is an amazing book. I really do like it. I did want to ask you, though, you've obviously written some other books. What is next for you? What's coming up for you?
Well, I'd love to stay in the space space. My plan is to kind of write about, space and the commercial era and privatization of space. And I don't have the topic quite nailed down yet, but I'm sure that it's going to be in that arena.
Well, it's a growing industry, and I'm sure you can come up with something. I do like your writing style, so I'm glad to hear that you're going to stay in the space industry longer. That's going to be fantastic. Again, our audience, the book is called The New Guys, The Historic Class of Astronauts That Broke Barriers and Changed the Face of Space Travel. Mira, thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Your space journey.
Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with Meredith, and I'm loving her book, The New Guys. Again, it's available wherever you get your books. Highly encourage you to check it out. I want to thank Meredith for joining me today. I want to thank you for joining me as well. Again, if you can do me a small favor and share this episode with a friend, I'd certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me. I'll see you next time. God bless.